Welcome everyone to Greencast. This is a podcast that brings practicality to being sustainable. Presented to you by the Waukesha County Green Team, your hosts are myself, Alec Lapoitevin.
And me, Laura Laux. Hi everybody, welcome to Greencast again. Thanks for joining us. We have another installment in our mini-series about our sustainability fair happening in August at Retzer Nature Center in Waukesha. So this time we have Dan joining us from WasteCap. Welcome, Dan.
Hello, everyone.
Thanks for joining. So we're going to talk a little bit about waste today. Do you want to first tell us a little bit about you and how you got involved in the business?
Yeah, sure. So I had a long and kind of winding journey to where I am today. I started off as an architect, going to architectural school, trained as an architect, and then I got to working with building developers in Chicago. And from there, that kind of introduced me to the world of building operations. And from there, I moved to Milwaukee and was working then with a company that was primarily owned by as a major building ownership portfolio company in the U.S., Transwestern. And so they own lots of skyscrapers. And they realized that they could save a lot of money if they started operating them more efficiently. So I brought my sustainability expertise from building operations and building design to them. And we got connected with Mars, and I started doing work all over the globe. So after a while of that, it was a lot of fun. Flying everywhere sounds great. It's very romantic. but the reality is just a lot of airports and hotel rooms and restaurants. It's not that fun. So I got the opportunity to start working more locally with WasteCap and bring my knowledge of sustainability, which was extremely broad, from energy and health and just management of the site down to focus solely on waste. And I thought that would be easy. and I was shocked. It was a huge world that I didn't realize how complex the whole process of dealing with waste could be. And so I've been rushing to catch up and learning a lot over the last several years.
Nice. Yeah, waste is pretty complex once you start looking at it. So do you want to give us an overview of what WasteCap does and how you guys tackle all of those problems?
Yes. So WasteCap Resource Solutions is a nonprofit based here in Milwaukee. And we've been helping Wisconsin businesses reduce their waste for over 20 years. For large businesses and institutions, we target that operational waste. What kinds of materials you're bringing into the building? How are you handling those materials? How are you disposing those materials? And then for construction and demolition projects, we focus primarily on the waste diversion from the material that's left over, whether it's scraps from construction work or it's the process of taking down a building and what you do with those materials. So hand in hand, construction of buildings and operations still.
Okay, nice. So that's still a pretty broad brush of everything that you guys touch.
Yes.
So do you have, what kinds of things are you working on now? Or do you have a couple of favorite projects? Just more info on what exactly you guys do.
Sure. So right now we just completed, we literally kind of touch all areas of the state. We're working on a zero waste certification for Land's End. Their corporate headquarters is in Dodgeville, is going through a zero waste certification, 7 buildings on that property. And then in Southeast Wisconsin, we just wrapped up a major renovation at the SC Johnson facility. They did a major renovation, turning one of their old factory buildings into an office building. It's gorgeous. So we just completed that. And then up north, my favorite project up north right now is in Crandon, Wisconsin. And I never really had a good introduction to northern Wisconsin, me being from, Illinois. I know it's like a four-letter word around here, but being up in the North Woods was really interesting working with the Potawatomi tribe, and they were building a massive community center up there, another really amazing building in the woods, and the efforts that they were taking to extremely limit their impact on the site and limit their waste was really cool. Wow. Also, the markets were really difficult up there because there's not a lot of places you can take waste. So if you're producing it, it's really hard to find a way to deal with it afterwards, either even to recycle it.
Yeah, I can imagine that. So I would assume that you guys are working with producing less waste in the operations as well as finding more homes for waste. Do you try to, connect the companies who are producing all the waste to the recyclers?
Exactly. You can save a little bit of money by making sure you recycle things, or by buying materials that you will throw away that you can instead recycle. So if you change from a styrofoam cup to a recyclable plastic cup, then you're still producing waste, but you can at least recycle it, right? So you'll save a little bit of money there. The way you really save money is not producing waste in the first place. Mm-hmm. So if you never buy the material that you have to throw away, or you buy something that's going to last several, dozen uses or something like that, then you save a lot more money in the long run.
Yeah, definitely. Well, my next question was, how does sustainability integrate into your mission and vision? But I think it's pretty, pretty obvious.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about reuse and recycling having been the cornerstone of sustainability since people started banging rocks together. But really, obviously, WasteCap's mission ties directly into this aspect of helping people identify what materials they're producing, how much they're producing, which is a critical aspect. You've got an energy meter, you've got a water meter, you've got a gas meter, but nobody's got a trash meter. So figuring out how to actually measure and quantify the waste that you're producing is really critical in being able to figure out ROIs, return on investments, for ways to reduce that waste. So how much you're producing, and then what's the highest and best use of that material? Can you reduce it first? Can you reuse it? Can you recycle it? If you have to do something else, can you at least send it to waste energy or compost or something like that, in order to avoid the landfill? And then what does all that mean? A lot of people have diversion goals, waste diversion goals. But aside from a percentage, what does that really mean? What impact does that actually have on the community? What impact is that having on habitat? What impact is that having on the atmosphere and climate change? We're really happy to see the industry kind of shifting away from these simple percentage diversion goals to more of a, let's look at the global impact of what we're doing and try to reduce that. And we can help people quantify that, which is something that you don't normally get.
Yeah, that's really cool. Very interesting to learn about. And I think we're going to be doing a longer episode specifically on that sort of thing in the future. So everybody keep your ears out for that. But I also wanted to ask you, why did you decide to sign up for the Sustainability Fair? I know that WasteCap is an exhibitor this year, and you were at our last one as well.
Well, because you guys are awesome, of course. also, just because you're in the neighborhood, and we're always trying to find, we're a small nonprofit, and we're always trying to get that kind of face time to be out there and locate those companies and institutions that are really realizing that they could be doing better and are interested in learning how. I think that one of the biggest problems we face is that people assume because they're recycling that they're doing well. Mm. And we're not going to really be able to convince anyone who has no interest in recycling to start diverting their waste. But we also face the problem of people don't necessarily realize that they're probably not doing quite as good as they could be. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you could even share your experience in going from a company that thought they were doing really well, and in fact is doing really well, but upon actually sitting down and quantifying it, realized they weren't doing quite as well as they thought they were.
Yep, definitely.
So getting in front of people, talking to them, is really how we kind of highlight those opportunities. And then a lot of companies, once they start working with us, just continue to work with us over the, you know, for years and years. We've been working with Potawatomi for 8 or 10 years now. A couple other companies like Impro, we've been working with them for about 7 years. Alliant Energy, we're working with them for about 12 years. Lands End, we've been working with them for about 6 years. So yeah, it's we just slowly build on our impact.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you named some pretty big names there, but I'm sure any size...
Well, there's lots of smaller names. I just,
yeah,
just the big ones, because people name recognition, right?
Exactly. Yep. But all businesses benefit from this, because it's a energy savings, it's a material savings, it's a cost savings, it's a climate change savings. It's a pretty cool thing when you start looking at it.
Water savings, there's economic value, so it builds markets and increases jobs. That's one of the, water savings is one of those ones that you don't normally think about.
Right.
But if you're not producing extra material that you're going to throw away, and also depending on what material you're using, some materials are far more water intensive. And not all of us, not everywhere in the world is as lucky as us to be sitting here right next to a massive body of fresh water, which, worse come to worse, we could drink, until it dry. We could drink it dry, but a lot of people don't have anywhere near that quantity of water available to them.
Right. Yeah. So we've been talking about the big scale company reductions, but so we're going to be at Retzer Nature Center for the Sustainability Fair, a 1-day event, a lot of different exhibitors, there'll be food vendors, things like that. So we are also trying to make this as close to a zero waste event as possible. So as a waste expert, what are some tips that you have for our exhibitors, for our attendees, for us as fair planners? What kinds of things that can we be thinking about to make this as close to a zero waste event as possible?
Sure. So much like the operations of a business or a building, it's going to start with the material that's being brought in, right? Mm-hmm. So it starts with the contracts with the vendors, the food vendors and the exhibitors, and making sure that they understand upfront that it is a zero waste event. And then the contracts also with anyone you're going to be having remove material from the site. So waste disposal, whether it's through the Retzer Nature Center or independently contracted groups, you're looking at how do we make sure that these two people are talking to each other, that your waste hauler, you know exactly what materials can be recycled and that the or composted, et cetera, and that the vendors are only bringing in materials that meet those requirements. Mm-hmm. So starting there, obviously the less you can bring onto site, the better. But then if you have to bring stuff on site, making sure that it's recyclable, compostable, and it's not going to end up in a landfill. That's number one. Then it's going to be communication. How do you talk? How do you let everyone who's coming know that, do they need to bring, their own forks and plates, right? If they're going to be eating, it's a small site, so it's a lot easier to control. But leave your water bottle in your car. Don't bring anything in.
Mm-hmm.
There's an old trail adage. Pack in, pack out. So making sure that the people coming to the event know that it's zero waste, and basically, the less material they can bring, the better, because it's not, you're not going to be able to communicate to them, oh, just bring the, you know, number one, plastics or right. compostable containers, you know, like just don't bring stuff in and we'll take care of you is probably one of the best ways. I think we're getting away from having tchotchkes and giveaways and just kind of junk coming to a fair. But an old conference goer myself, you used to just get bags of junk yes. from people. Everybody wanted to give you their junk. And some of it's useful for a day or two. You know, I always like a pen and a notepad.
Yeah.
Because those I would use, but everything else was just like, no, don't give me the reusable bag. I honestly don't need another reusable bag.
Yeah.
Vendors not bringing stuff in also helps. And then lastly, you know, the communication on site at the actual bins themselves, helpful to let people know very clearly, these items from this event go here. Mm-hmm. Those are the three big things, you know, controlling your vendors and your waste management up front, planning that up front, making sure people don't bring material in, and then making sure everyone knows where it goes.
Well, that's pretty straightforward. I think we have most of that under control.
Yeah, that's the short and easy description. Right. It's a million, of course, you know, that's like a million different things that go into each one of those. But from a really broad overview, that's
right. Of course. Yes. Awesome. Well, we will definitely reach out if we need some more clarification on those things.
Sure.
Great. Well, this has been awesome. I'm glad to learn a little bit more about you and looking forward to having you at the fair. But is there anything else that you want listeners to know or any other resources that you want to guide them to?
Sure. You can find us online at wastecap.org, emphasis on .org. It's a lot of people put in .com and then it never get to us. Wastecap.org. What may be really exciting for people is that we'll be launching moving our Wisconsin Recycling Directory online. It's a project we've been looking forward to doing for a long time. You know, why have an in-print version of something these days, especially for a zero waste company? But moving it online and making it public and more easily accessible, so that if you're building a building or you have a business anywhere or just individuals, anywhere in Wisconsin, you can just put in your address, put in a material and find the local haulers and processors for that material. And a lot of people say, well, you could just, there's Google Maps and there's in Google, why can't you just Google it? believe me, we did this for a living and it takes us a lot of time to actually find vendors. And so that's why we built the directory, because it's not that simple. I wish you could just type in like, aluminum recycling. Aluminum is recycling a bad, probably a bad example because that's an easy one, but like drywall recycling into Google Maps and find drywall recyclers in your area. You will not find them. It's just not something that is out there and available right now. So we built a free version and it should be up and running hopefully within the next couple of weeks, maybe a month. So you can find it through our website.
Definitely.
Google Wisconsin Recycling Guide. So yeah, I should just say July, in July, look for it in July.
Okay, perfect.
But then it doesn't matter, of 2021.
Right.
For those of you listening to this in the future.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I can definitely share that link when it goes live. That's really cool. Definitely a useful tool from my experience in the manufacturing world and also personally. It would be really nice to just have that directory. So thank you for that work. Great. Well, thank you, Dan, for joining me today. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing you guys at the fair.
Great. Thank you so much for inviting us, and we look forward to seeing you there too.
Make sure to check out Greencast on Facebook, where we post the most up-to-date information, release episodes, provide a lot more resources about things you heard on the show, and have conversations about episodes and sustainability in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and beyond. Also, if you're interested in the Waukesha County Green Team, please check out our website and Facebook page and come to one of our board meetings. They're always open to the public. Greencast is produced through the Waukesha County Green Team by Alec Lapoitovin and Laura Laux, with help from Stacey Balsley. Our theme music is by Dan Krill and Emma Koppel. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, sustainability starts with all of us.